Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Well, good evening. We're going, if you do not have an orange lesson guide, this is just a guide for us tonight. If you will raise your hand, I hope somebody has some. Okay, we do. We have some. Keep your hands up. And I think that there's something I can put my Bible on right here. Oh, here we come. Oh, man, I got the fancy one. Thank you. Open up your Bibles to the book of Proverbs, chapter 9. Proverbs, chapter 9. Boy, thanks for coming out tonight on this cold Sunday night. And something was going on at the university when I drove by there around the O'Connell Center. I don't know what that was, but what's that? Volleyball. Okay. How'd we do? Is it still going on or? We lost. Okay. And I heard we lost a basketball game this afternoon away. So anyway, we're not going to lose in here tonight because we're going to study the Bible. Amen. All right. So I want you to think about two invitations to dinner. You have been invited. You have been invited for dinner on the same night by two different people. Which invitation are you going to accept? Now, we have been studying the book of Proverbs on Sunday night. So these bold titles are lessons that we have dug into in the Word of God on Sunday nights. We talked about wisdom, and these are just some truths that I could fit on the page. I actually eliminated stuff as I create the next one, so I can try to get it all on one sheet. But anyway, we talked about wisdom. We talked about Solomon's search. His final message was turn to God and remember your Creator in the days of your youth. And then listening to wisdom. There's no you really don't have a friend who is going to discourage you from listening to God's wisdom and God's word. So listening to wisdom. Then the dangers of anger. The word anger in the Old Testament means to have a hot nose. I love that. You seen anybody get mad and their face turns kind of red? That's a biblical way for describing someone that's angry. And then wisdom's promise is the greatest promise that I've ever found in God's word is found in that lesson that we looked at about 3 weeks ago, I think is when we actually looked at it. But tonight I want to look at two invitations to dinner, and we have it in the book of Proverbs. Now, if you're going to decide where you're going to have dinner, you got to ask these four questions, and I've numbered them. Now, folks, this is kind of discombobulated. You know what that word means? It means it's not as organized as well as it could be, okay? I tried to put everything I wanted to put on this one sheet, and so there's some places I would have done an outline and all that, but I didn't do it for lack of space. But I did number and underline the main questions I think you ought to be thinking about if you are invited to dinner on the same night, and you've got to make a decision. The first one is question number one, who is inviting? Who's doing the inviting? All right, that's important. The second question, number two, who is invited? Who are the people that are invited? Number three, what is the appeal? What is their appeal to have you come, all right, to dinner with them? And then, are there any consequences to you accepting their invitation? Well, in God's Word, we have this dilemma set up. And really, there are two people doing the inviting. Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. Now, in chapter 9, verse 1, it says, wisdom has built her house. She has hewn out her seven pillars. She has slaughtered her meat. She has mixed her wine. She has also furnished her table. She has sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city, "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding," she says to him, "come and eat of my bread and drink of the wine I have mixed. Forsake foolishness and live, and go in the way of understanding." Now I want you to look at verse 13. We're going to skip down to the foolish woman, or Lady Folly's invitation. A foolish woman is clamorous. She is simple and knows nothing. For she sits at the door of her house, on the seat by the highest places of the city, to call to those who pass by, who go straight on their way. "Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding," she says to him. That sound familiar, by the way, that verse? Sounds familiar. It's exactly the same verse as verse 4. Okay? And then she says in verse 17, "Stolen waters are sweet, and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. But he does not know that the dead are there and that her guests are in the depths of hell." So let's just work through this together, all right? On your orange sheet, let's just follow along. We'll look at it, all right? Who is doing the inviting? Well, Lady Wisdom is the evangelist of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, the Scripture says that he gave some as prophets, some as apostles, some as evangelists. He gives to the church evangelists as gifts. Doesn't mean the gift of evangelism. It means the person is a gift to the church as an evangelist. Well, in the Old Testament evangelist is Lady Wisdom. Lady Wisdom is compelling you. Lady Wisdom is compelling me and has been compelling me for many years. Listen to me. I want you to come my way. And so if you've wondered who is the Old Testament evangelist, it is Lady Wisdom. As a matter of fact, go back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20, just real quickly. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 20 says, "Wisdom calls aloud outside. She raises her voice in the open squares." So she is wisdom's evangelist in the Old Testament, all right? Now, it says, this is who is doing the inviting. Are you with me? Shake your head. All right, you're with me. Okay, it says there, In our scripture, it says she's hewn out her seven pillars. Now, that seven is significant. You probably know, if you're a student of the Bible, you know that the number seven is what some call the number of completeness. It's a special number in the Bible. Well, it's the covenant number. The blank there is the word number, okay? So where it says she's hewn out her seven pillars, she uses that number seven. It's the covenant number, and it shows blessing, completeness, and rest. Now, y'all, the New Testament, the words of the New Testament are so amazing. The theological words of the Bible are so amazing. But can I tell you something? The words of the Old Testament are just amazingly powerful. And when it talks about wisdom, it talks about the idea of rest and completeness. There is a resolution. It's like some of y'all that know about music, and I don't know much about music, but I know this. There are times of dissonance where something is crescendoing and it's going up, and it's actually just needs to settle. Now, some of y'all know what I'm talking about if you're musicians. But when that thing rests, and it's in the right harmony, it's a wonderful thing in music. Can I tell you what we all long for in this world? Every person on this planet, every person on that campus, everybody under the sound of my voice, every one of your family members, we long for completeness. We long for rest. And when she says, now listen to me, "I'm Lady Wisdom, I want you to come to my house for dinner." And she says, "I've hewn out my seven pillars." What she's saying is, let me tell you, this is a covenant number that shows blessing, completeness, and rest. She's basically saying, if you really want to rest and be complete and be blessed, you've got to eat at my table. Don't go to anybody else's table, all right? And so we see that. And then it says, she has killed her beast, she has mixed her wine, she has furnished her table. In other words, it's ready. She is ready to entertain you and to have you in her home, all right? Now, in verse 3, I'm back to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 3. It says, she has sent out her maidens. These maidens give testimony. They're the testimonies of others. All right? So the testimony of others are out there saying, yes, this is true. Come eat here. It's like someone that's been to a great restaurant. Has anybody had a restaurant recommended to them recently? They said, man, that's a really good restaurant. Well, that's like these maidens. They've gone out and they've eaten there, and they've said, look, we've been there. This is the place to go. You need to go eat dinner there, because I tell you, it will be good. And I want you to notice that Lady Wisdom has others that will go out and will agree with her, will give testimony. And there may be somebody here tonight struggling in their mind. Do I really want to sell out my life to Jesus Christ? Do I really want to live my life for God? Is all of this stuff really make sense? I know people talk about it. I hear my life group leader. I maybe have parents that talk about it. I've talked to some people here on the campus, and they're trying to convince me to give my life to Christ, and you're wondering about it. Well, let me ask you to do this. Think about others that may be confirming that message, because Lady Wisdom has maidens, and these maidens are out, and they are agreeing with her. She sent out her maidens. She cries out from the highest places of the city, all right? And where it says the high places, these are places where she can be heard. She gets in places where she can be heard. And she's saying, look, come to dinner. Now, let's look at Lady Folly. And by the way, if Lady Wisdom is the evangelist of the Old Testament, then you have a decision to make. Because Lady Folly, the clamorous woman, is going to make an appeal to you as well. And man must decide. Mankind must decide between them. This is the tension that is placed in this proverb, chapter 9. There's tension here. And it's the tension, really, of all of life. I mean, the exit you get on when you're going down I-75 determines which way you're going to go. You either go all the way on I-75 towards Tampa, or you get off on the turnpike. If you get off on the turnpike, you're not going to Tampa. You're going to Orlando. You're going to Claremont. There you go. You're going to Claremont. We got Claremont people here tonight, I'm telling you. And they get kind of rowdy now. Just go easy on these Claremont people. But anyway, they get rowdy. But my point is this, y'all, listen. God's word is saying to us, and we have a lot of fun talking about it, but can I tell you this? Your decision will change the direction of your life forever when you face Lady Wisdom and Lady Folly. So she says, it says in there that she is clamorous. Now that word clamorous in verse 13, it means she's aroused by passion. She is a woman that is sensual. There is an appeal to these types of things in Lady Folly's appeal. This is what she's like. This is what she's made of. And it says in our passage verse 13, a foolish woman is clamorous. That's what my version says. Your version may say it in a different way. Or boisterous. Another version says boisterous. She is real sensual. And she demonstrates a lot of passion. It means to be aroused by passion. And she's sensual. And then it says in here in this passage, she is simple. And the word simple is an interesting word right here. And you can fill in this blank here. Simple means there's no moral fiber to resist temptation. Always be leery of anyone who caves into temptation with no battle whatsoever. The proverb says of this lady that she is simple, and it just means she just wilts. She just totally wilts when tempted. And this is who this person is, Lady Folly. She's aroused by passion. She has no fiber to resist temptation. And the Bible says she knows nothing, is the way it words it there. And knows nothing, the end of verse 13. Ignorance is the companion of folly. That's a blank. Write that down. Ignorance is the companion of folly. And what does she do? She sits at the door of her house. Now, Lady Wisdom stood on a high place. Lady Wisdom's up on the pulpit, man. Lady Wisdom's out on a high mountain. Hey, I've got my table set. I've got the food ready. I've hewn out 7 pillars. I've mixed my wine. I've killed the beast. I've done it all. I've got it all ready. And yet, Lady Folly, she sits at the door of her house. It's kind of like, I wrote in my own notes here, and I put it on here, like at the carnival. You know, in an old carnival, you would walk by all these booths, and the people would be there, and they'd be saying, hey, come on over here, sonny. You know, when I was a little kid, that's what they said. Come over here, little fella. Come over here and try this. See if you can. Hey, you got a dollar? You got a dollar? Come over here and try this. And you know, have y'all ever seen that game that was a basket, and all you did was throw softballs in it, and it had it at an angle? Y'all are looking at me like, man, what world were you in? But anyway, look, I promise you, there was at the fair, and they had a board, and they put that basket right there, and if you threw it up in the air and it landed on the lip, it would roll into the thing and stay in there. But if it hit the back of it, it would come out. And so, you know, I was thinking, man, I can hit that. And I just, and boom, I hit it on the end, I hit it on the end, and I'd give them another dollar, you know, and I'd keep trying it. And finally, you just get frustrated. You know why? Because you're losing all your money. And you're getting no doll. You're getting no stuffed animal, you know. And so this is the way I think about Lady Folly. She's at the door of her house, and she's saying, hey, come on over here. I want to invite you to dinner. And I want you to take a note here in your notes here. Note. No testimonies. Can I tell you this? Nobody ever comes out of there. They have no one who gives a testimony and says, man, this is really a good dinner. No. So I just make note, there's no testimonies. All right. Who is invited? Okay. Who is invited? You know what? The exact same group of people are invited. Look at verse 4. In verse 4, Lady Wisdom says, whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him. Look at verse 16. Whoever is simple, let him turn in here. As for him who lacks understanding, she says to him. The exact same verses in the Bible. It's almost like they just hit a stamp, just reprint. Exact same wording in verse 4 and in verse 16. So who is invited? Well, the simple, and that word means inexperienced. It's those that have not yet gained all the experience. Now, there's a part of all of us, no matter what our age, we haven't experienced everything. We need to listen to Lady Wisdom. We need to reject Lady Folly. But this is also in some ways linked with the inexperienced. It's linked with young people. For example, go back one page or two pages to chapter 7, verse 7. And I saw among the simple, I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding. And he's passing by, and there's a whole chapter in there that's a powerful passage. But it's this word, the simple, is linked with youth in chapter 7, verse 7. So it means the inexperienced. Now listen, the worst thing you can ever do is say, you know, I've got it all together, I don't need this. And I tell you, some of our young people and some of our college students, and can I say this, some of the people my age, we better wise up. If you have a haughty spirit and you say, boy, I'm really walking with the Lord so close. Man, I don't need this stuff. I don't need to be thinking about this kind of stuff here. You are a great candidate for the simple. And so it's the inexperienced, all right? One not yet decided. Now, I say contrast verse 3 and verse 15. Well, if you look at 9:3, she sent out her maiden. She cries from the high places of the city. And then in verse 15, she just calls those who pass by, who go straight on their way. Listen, when you are even walking with God straight on your way, you're going to have Lady Folly try to get you off course. And that's exactly what she tries to do. All right, what is the appeal? Let's get into the crux of it here. What is the appeal? In verses 5 and 6, you have the appeal of Lady Wisdom. In verse 17, you have the appeal of Lady Folly. All right, Wisdom. Come and eat of my bread and wine. It represents all the nourishment. That's the word. It is representative of all the nourishment that you need. And then it says, forsake the foolish. And in verse 6, forsake the foolish, it says, and the word foolish there are empty pursuits. Empty pursuits. Ravi Zacharias says the loneliest moment in life is when you finally get what you thought would deliver the ultimate and you find it lacking. You find it wanting. Well, that's an empty pursuit. That's something you thought was going to deliver and it didn't deliver. And that's exactly what she says. Lady Wisdom says, forsake the foolish. And she says, everything that I have is nourishment. Now, can I say this to, I'm saying this to myself. I'm saying this to myself as I say it to you. We're going to have to trust somebody. We're going to have to trust somebody. Either you're going to trust yourself and your instinct. You're going to listen to Lady Folly. Or you can trust Lady Wisdom and say, you know what? She says that if I will eat of her bread, drink of her wine, and sit at her table, that what I'm really looking for, I will have. The nourishment that I long for, I will have. This is her appeal. She says, forsake the foolish. Come and eat of my bread and my wine. And then she says, go in the way of understanding. And that has with it the idea of a road map. A road map. The way of understanding. You say, well, you know, I've got my whole life ahead of me to live. How am I going to know how to go? You know what I would say to you? You decide that you're going to live by the Word of God. That's what Lady Wisdom, that's the summation of what Lady Wisdom does, is she says, here's the wisdom that God has given. Go by it even when others are clamoring at you to go another way. You go with God. And what she's saying is, you will find the map that you're looking for that will take you where you really want to go and where God wants you to go. You will go in the way of understanding. So that's her appeal. Forsake the foolish. I've made all this food for you and it's nourishing. It's what's going to nourish you. But you've got to trust somebody, all right? What does Lady Folly do? All right? I want you to look at verse 17 of our passage. This is Proverbs 9:17. She says this. She says, stolen water is sweet. This is really powerful. Because I tell you what Folly does, she promotes the attractiveness of what is forbidden. Now don't look at me all pious. We are, with a sinful nature, attracted to what is forbidden. And when you say, oh no, we're not, is when you're probably in trouble for it. That is her appeal. She is promoting the attractiveness of what is forbidden. Look, she says, stolen water is sweet and bread eaten in secret is pleasant. I heard this story years ago and I have just cemented it in my mind to this verse of scripture. A man had some kids over to his house one day and he had a trampoline in the yard, he had a swimming pool, he had a basketball goal set up, and he had all this going on. Well, I'm glad they got a clock on there. That clock gets bigger. It's getting bigger. I just noticed that I could hardly see it, and they've blown it up now. But anyway, but this man, he had these kids over, and he got them all together. He said, now look, there's a basketball goal over here. I want y'all to play basketball. He said, I want y'all to go over here and jump on the trampoline. He said, now look at me, y'all. I want to tell y'all something. He had all these little kids looked at me. He said, now I want you, you can do everything in my backyard. He said, but you see that? You see those flowers and those azaleas right there in those bushes? He said, do not spit in that flower bed. You can do everything else, but I do not want to catch any of you spitting in that flower bed. And then he went into his house, and he had an office right by that flower bed. And he sat there, and as the story goes, many of those kids, maybe not all of them, but many of those kids, they walked up that flower bed and they looked around. Nobody else was around. They spit in that flower bed and run off. There's something, now listen, think about it. There's something in us. Well, I'll give you this example. God said to Adam and Eve, every fruit that is in this garden, you can enjoy. But don't eat from the fruit that is in the midst of the garden. And what does Satan do? Satan came up and said, oh, Eve, did God really say you couldn't eat of the fruit that's in the middle of the garden? And you know what she did? She took it a step farther. She said, yes, God said we could not eat it and we can't touch it. God never said that, but she did. Boy, we really, look. We really bow up when somebody tells us we can't do something. And that's her appeal. That's Lady Folly's appeal is, let me tell you how much fun it is to do something that's forbidden. And so the serpent said, did he really say that? She said, well, he said we couldn't eat it and we can't touch it. And he said, you know why that's true? Because God knows that in the day that you eat of it, you'll be like God. And you'll know the difference between good and evil. Satan appeals to our pride. He appeals to our senses. And he makes us feel like, and this is a big thing that I discovered in high school and in college, and I'm still discovering it. And that is this, that he makes us feel, Satan does, that we're missing out on something. Well, if I really sell out to Jesus, boy, I don't know. I'm the Lord is so confining. He's so confining. I'll never have any fun. I'll never get to do. Let me just set you at ease on something. You've never lived until you sell out to Jesus. You've never had so much fun in your life. You've never enjoyed sleep like you will sleep when you are totally committed to the Lord. Now, it does not mean that you might not have it tough. You probably will have it very tough. But that's why those that are even in very, very tough places, they literally stand there with perfect peace because the Lord has shown up in their life and the Lord has blessed them in a powerful way. But that is folly's appeal. Now, we got to finish. What are the consequences? Let's start with folly. At the end of our passage in verse 18, but he does not know that the dead are there. So the first blank is dead. The dead are there. And that her guests are in the depths of hell. Her guests are in hell. In chapter 7, verse 27, the scripture says this, her house is the way to hell. descending to the chambers of death, talking about the foolish Lady Folly. In chapter 2, verse 18, the scripture says this, "For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead." And now she doesn't tell you that when she's on the front porch. Come eat dinner. She doesn't tell you that. But if you notice, she has no testimonies. The maidens that come out for Lady Wisdom and they confirm her story, she has no testimonies. Lady Folly doesn't. And so this is a picture of life going down. It's a picture of life going down. Now, I'm not going to major on this, but I've never forgotten this. In Milwaukee, Wisconsin, several decades ago, there was a man that lived there, and they realized something. Anybody that ever went into his apartment never came out. And people started, they were missing. There was a guy, his last name was Dahmer, that's the blank there, Jeffrey Dahmer. Some of y'all may remember this, some of you won't, but he was taking the lives of people and he was keeping them in his apartment. And they began to surveil him, and they realized that a lot of people, he would befriend people, and they would go into his apartment, but no one ever left. And when they investigated, they realized that he was taking all their lives, and he was convicted, and he actually died in prison. And so that's just an illustration in real time or in real life of what it's like, the consequences of following Lady Folly. But look at Wisdom in verse 6. She says in verse 6, "Forsake the foolish and live." That word live is another one of those great Hebrew words. It's loaded. It's loaded with meaning. It has the force. Listen, this is what I love about the Bible. This is what I love about when Jesus gets involved in your life. It has the force of the future. That's what that word does. Forsake the foolish and live. You want a future, you better go with wisdom. Forsake the foolish and live. Proverbs chapter 8, verse 34 says this, "Blessed is the man who listens to me." This is wisdom talking. "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors." And I'm going to close with this. Our musicians can go ahead and come up here. They're going to lead us in a song. Thank you all for coming. There was a guy in the desert, as the story goes, and he was, come on up. There was a guy in the desert, and he was so thirsty. And he finally, you know, he thought he was having a mirage, you know, where you just see things. And he saw an old-fashioned pump. Some of y'all don't know this, but they used to have these hand pumps, you know. Maybe you've seen them. I had an aunt in North Carolina had one. I used to love to go to her house because I wanted to pump that thing and see water come out. I always thought you'd turn a spigot and water comes out, you know. But you could do this thing and it would work. Well, this guy, he was so thirsty. He thought he could not crawl another step. And he came up on a well, and when he got there was a little jar of water. And there was a note by the jar of water. And the note said, "Don't drink this. Prime the pump with it." Now, for those of you that have ever seen these pumps, sometimes you got to get a suction going on it. And the way to do it is you prime it. You pour water in there and it kind of gets it going. And then you can pump more water out. This guy was so thirsty, he sat there and he looked at that note and he said, "It says to not drink this, but prime the pump and I'll get more water. But I'm so thirsty, what if I pour it in there and it's gone and it doesn't give me more water to drink?" So he had a decision to make. Don't drink this, but here's what you need to do. Prime the pump. And so he thought about it. He was so thirsty. He thought about it. And he took the water and he said, all right, I'm just going to do what it says. And he dumped it in that thing and he started. He said, okay, I hope that's going to prime this pump. He said, I'm so thirsty. And he started going like this and it just sounded like metal on metal. No connect. And the water wasn't coming or anything. And so he just kept going. He kept going. All of a sudden, he started feeling the pressure build. And all of a sudden, gushing out of that well came water. He drank all he wanted. He used the cup. He drank all he wanted. And then he took the cup and he filled the last one up. And he set it down there and he got the note and he laid it right back there. Because he knew it was true. Now I'll just say this to you. You can decide to go by Lady Folly if you want to, or you can go by Lady Wisdom. But I tell you one thing, it's true. It's true. Because the consequences of living by Lady Wisdom are so great. And the consequences of living by Lady Folly are devastating. The dead are there. And her place leads to death. And no one ever comes out. So my last point there is this. Go or trust the directions. Trust the directions. And these are the directions right here. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.